Welcome back. This is Jennifer. This is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study, and we had a little technical difficulty, so those of you who are joining us for the live, I'm so sorry about that. Internet down. I blame the solar eclipse. Just kidding. Well, maybe it's true. It hasn't started here in California, of course, yet, but it's pretty exciting. Today's a big, huge solar eclipse day. I even have friends who drove all the way up there, from California to Idaho and parts around, to be right in the path and see it. Super exciting. But I'm sure I can't blame the solar eclipse, since it hasn't even started yet, for my technical issues here at home. But that's why our Facebook Live was delayed. Those of you who are just joining us, whenever you're joining us, thank you for being here, watching us on YouTube or the replay on Facebook or listening on the podcast. I'm glad you're here. We took a break for the last week, and I really missed you. I missed doing Bible study with you. But during this past week, I have been having a good time getting our Ephesians study ready to go. And today is the first day of that study. And so right now, we're going to do what we always do when we begin a new book of the Bible, and that is just read straight through God's Word. And cover to cover, we're going to go through Ephesians today, right now. All you're going to need for this study today is your Bible. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version of the Bible. Welcome. Glad you're here, by the way, everybody who's jumping in live on Facebook. I've missed you. It's so nice to have you back. So nice to be back here with you live. So, are you ready? Got your Bible? I'll be reading again from the English Standard Version of the Bible. Read from whatever translation you want. It's kind of interesting to read from different translations as we go. And then tomorrow, we will be back here live at 7 a.m., Lord willing, barring any more technical difficulties getting the internet to work, to jump into the first chapter. So by this afternoon, go on to the website, go to the La Mirada Christian Church website and download the actual pages of this study. Get those ready to go. So you'll have those ready for our study time. That's at lamoradachurch.com. Go to the women's ministry page. Go to Bible study. And you'll see the new Ephesians study will be up and ready to go later on this afternoon. I'm almost done. And I wanted to have that all ready before I clicked send and put it out there for you. So today's easy because we're just reading. We're just going to do it. So let me get some water. This is my awesome water cup that I made when I was at one of my sister's retreats, fitness retreat. It says breathe on it. And I love this cup. So it's perfect for doing Bible study with, because I can get my straw, just get a good sip of water, get ready to go. So here's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to read straight through. I'm going to probably talk a couple of times through it. Mostly I really just want to read the word though. But I might pause, make a couple observations, make comments, because I want us to engage when we're doing our read through in the way I would normally just read through. And I, normally when I'm reading through a book of the Bible, my goal is to try to just read it straight through without really digging in too much. Just enjoy the book for the book. But normally what happens is I set off with that intent and then I get started reading the book and then I can't help but be thoughtful of this Bible verse reminding me of another one, or starting to think of a theme, or making a note of any word choices that I'm reading and coming across. I definitely do not read and get into a commentary on my first read through, or go into anybody else's thoughts or writings about it, which is what a commentary is. When I'm doing my read through, I don't want to be interrupted by somebody else's interpretation of the word. I really just want to be there in the word with the Holy Spirit, thinking, praying, meditating, and enjoying, like the Bible says, to delight in God's word. That's what I really want to do. And then my brain will get going and I'll start thinking and wondering on its own, and that's fine. But definitely when you do your first read through of a book of the Bible, I really encourage you to avoid reading out of a study Bible. That's why, if you've joined me at any of our Bible studies, I encourage a Bible that looks like this. I'll hold it up to the camera so you can see. You can see all my notes in it right now. But can you see that all it is the Word, and then some references down the center column that refer back to other Bible verses in the Word, right? But there are no notes, no commentary in this. It's not a study Bible. It is simply a, this one's called a wide margin Bible. And so I'd encourage you, when you're doing your personal Bible study, to get a journaling Bible or a wide margin Bible of some kind that does not have any commentary in it. Avoid using those. And then save the commentary for later when you go back through and you start digging back in verse by verse. Okay? All right. So here we are in Ephesians. And again, no commentary. We'll start in on that tomorrow. We'll dig a little bit more. We'll get the background of the book. We'll start understanding a little bit more about Paul, when he was writing, where he was writing from, and to whom he was writing, any themes that he's got going on here, what the intent and the purpose of the letter is. But for today, just reading and maybe a little bit of chit chat for me as thoughts occur to me. Now, those of you who are joining me live on Facebook, this is your opportunity to, as we're reading through, make a comment and write something that you're observing as well. And then grab your Bible. And I like to take notes right in my Bible. I used to take notes outside my Bible, like in a journal or something, but then I wasn't good about going back to the journal, and then it was separate from my Bible. So that's when I invested in a wide margin Bible, so I could take my notes right in the Bible. I use just a good old fashioned pencil when I do my writing. I like this particular pencil because it's called a twist erase, because it doesn't, that way when I go to write, I don't click it and advance the lead and advance the eraser. I just twist it and the eraser goes up and down. And it's a decent width on the writing size. So when I go to write in my Bible, it doesn't drag and cut into the page. And so I like this particular pencil. And then I've mentioned this before, but I like, it's called a Bible Dry Highlighter. That's the brand name, Dry Highlighter. And I use the yellow one they make. And then I like my Pentel multi pencil colored pencil. And so I color code that. I use yellow and orange to make scripture pop that I want to memorize or make note of. Then I use blue and light blue to underline passages that refer to God and the Holy Spirit. I use red to underline passages that refer to Jesus, his blood, his sacrifice, his life, his atonement, anything thematically connected with Jesus. I keep in red. I use brown to highlight people that are mentioned in the Bible. And by the way, that has been proven extremely helpful as I go back and try to look for certain things. I can quickly see, oh, there's that passage about God. Oh, it's in blue. There's a passage about the Holy Spirit. It's in light blue. There's the passage about different people that are being addressed. They're in brown. Then I use green to connect to anything that has to do with a place. And I use pink, and sometimes like a light red. I have this kind of pinkish light red. I guess that's what pink is, but whatever. Pencil. I like this one also. To highlight anything in particular that relates to theology and doctrine and things like that, that I want to make sure I remember. All right. That's my color coding. There's no magic color coding system. Find one that works for you. And then I would encourage you in the back page of your Bible to write out your code for yourself, especially as you're getting used to your own personal way of doing your note taking. Then have your pencil ready. And as you're doing your read through, jot down a few thoughts and ideas. If you're nervous about writing in your Bible, get a post-it note, put that in your Bible and write on the post-it note. I use post-it notes in one of my study Bibles, and I bought these big, see this one here? It's like a 2x3 inch post-it note. Here we go. It's upside down. and I use that directly in my Bible. And when I'm listening to a sermon, sometimes I'll write my notes for my sermon right on the post-it note. And then I date those. And so when I go back to look in the Bible, I have the notes right there ready to go from the last time I listened to that message, but they're not in my Bible. I save my notes that I write in my Bible for my own personal digging in, and then the post-it notes for something when I'm listening to another teacher and their thoughts about the Bible. Okay. Well, that's a little bit of an introduction on my rationale, how I go about personal Bible study. And hopefully that'll give you some tips, help you. And are you ready? I am. Let's get into Ephesians. It's 6 chapters long. So we've done read-throughs of all the way through James, and we've done 1st and 2nd Peter now all the way through. So this is technically the longest book that we've read through straight in one sitting. And if it was any longer than this, I'd probably go ahead and break it up into 2 sittings. But it's 6 chapters and we can do it. And we'll just take a little bit of a break and I'll chat a bit as we go through. Don't forget, when you're on Facebook, I love to see where you're Facebooking from, where you're listening from. So make sure you say hi. Give me a heart, thumbs up, and a like. Yay. Love those. And send those comments in. If you're on YouTube or the podcast, same thing. Write in a comment and let me know what you're thinking about, any questions that you have. It's a great way for us to engage. And don't forget to share that you're listening to the video, watching this, so that other friends can join you as well. Tell all your friends to grab their Bibles and jump in, and let's do this together in community. It's so much more fun. All right, here we go. Let's pray and get right into Ephesians. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful time it is to be in your word. And what a special time it is today to be in your word and be in community with others listening and reading along, knowing that we have friends all around who are also spending this time in your word together. And what a beautiful bond of fellowship that gives us. Thank you for that. Thank you for the power of your word. As we enter into this book of Ephesians, we thank you for Paul and his life and his story and everything that he went through to bring him to where you were able to inspire him to write these words for us today. So we would come before you humbly right now and ask that you would open the eyes of our heart, that we would see clearly your love, your message, your truth in your word, that we would not have a spirit of confusion around us, but we would have clarity and confidence and peace, strength and understanding as we read your word. We thank you again for your word today, and we're looking forward to our time in it. May you be glorified in our efforts right now, and that we would be blessed also in our time in your word right now. So bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's do this. The letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So from this past passage right here, just interruption real quick. Are you noticing any themes that are coming in? Paul's heart being revealed, his desire toward his reader, what he wants us to understand. Start thinking along those ways as we continue to read. And be noticing any people, any places, any themes as we do our reading together. Okay. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I love Paul's heart here. Excuse me for a sip of coffee here, but I love Paul's heart. I love his desire for us to know Christ and to know who we are in Christ and what's been accomplished for us. So powerful, the blessings that we have in Christ. And maybe if you go back through and do your read through again, or even just maybe right now, if you're able to pause, if you're listening to the replay, being able to pause and really dig in and list out those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And again, enter in and understand Paul's enthusiasm here and the power that he sees in Christ and who we are because of what Christ has done. All right, let's get into chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love by which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. I love that final verse. I'm going to read that again to you. Listen, verse 22. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Holy Spirit. Underline that, highlight that. When we get to our dig in deeper part, we're going to really talk about that more, but I just love that concept there. So glad that you're with us, even if you could only stay up for a few minutes. But Patricia, I'm glad that you're here. Come back and watch the replay later when you have more time, okay? All right, so chapter 3, let's continue on. For this reason, I love it when he begins with that. So pay close attention. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, know how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery, Don't you love a mystery when the secrets finally get resolved? I do. Here we go. This mystery, hold on, let me get my words, is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Boom! That must have been a mind-blowing experience for the Jews to read this and the Gentiles to start realizing there was a mystery and we're part of it and it's now been revealed. Exciting. I mean, come on, put yourself back in the beginning when people were first reading this letter and Paul was first explaining this through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Jews reading this would have had light bulbs going off, mind-blown experiences going, that's the mystery. That's what all of this has been about all this time. And now the Gentiles are reading it going, we were part of this huge mystery that's been around for all this time. And how exciting it was, I'm sure, for everybody at the time to get into that. Okay, continuing on verse 7. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal promise that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, and whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen, right? Go back to that verse and read that one again. Exciting stuff. Okay, chapter 4. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who was over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now, this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They're darkened by their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have learned about him and you were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dearly beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and pure, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that has become visible is light. Therefore, it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body as and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Bondservants, obey your earthly masters and fear with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ, not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Rendering service with a good will is to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or free. Masters, do the same to them. And stop your threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you may also know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from Christ, from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love the Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. And that ends the reading of the whole book of Ephesians, which we did in about 20 minutes. About 20 minutes, that's it. I know sometimes as we think about getting into God's Word, we're like, that's going to take too long, I'll never be able to finish. Ta-da! We read it in 20 minutes or so. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. All right. Thank you for being with me here in the reading of God's Word in the book of Ephesians. Go back through, I encourage you, reread it on your own. Grab your pencil, grab your notes, jot down some thoughts and get ready to really dig in. Tomorrow we'll be back here, Lord willing, and we'll do our Bible study. So please go online to La Mirada Christian Church's website later on tonight and get the Bible study. It'll be up around 6:30 tonight. I'll have it finished and edited and fixed up and ready to go, Lord willing, by 6:30 tonight. So go back on tonight and post that. I'll post a reminder here on our Faith and Fellowship, the La Mirada Women's page here, and to let you know when it's up and ready to go. But do that, and then I'll also print it and have it available at church. So those of you who are local can swing by church at your convenience, and I'll put it in our basket right outside the church office, right where we normally keep the Bible studies. So you can grab that and get ready. And on a side note, we are starting a new sermon series coming up soon, two of them coming up. Let me tell you about those real quick. For those of you who attend La Mirada Christian Church, we're going to be getting into two short books of the Bible on our Sunday series with Pastor Shane. This Sunday, he's going to start Philemon and finish it in one day because it's a really short book. In fact, he's doing just this two-week series called One Hit Wonders, and that's Philemon, and then the next one is going to be Jude. So in your own time, and maybe I'll do it on Saturday, we'll do a read-through. Read through Philemon to prep yourself for this Sunday's message. So it'll be so much more rich for you when you come to church on Sunday and you engage in the message. And then the next week is going to be Jude. And again, read through it in one sitting. Seriously, it'll probably take you 8 minutes to read through the entire book. Maybe not even that, because it's one very short chapter. And then September 10th, Pastor Shane is going to be kicking off a whole series that'll take us through the book of Ephesians. This is why I wanted to do Ephesians with you right now and really dig into it before September 10th kicks off. So we'll be reading through Ephesians, studying through Ephesians, and then on your own, why don't you go ahead and go through Philemon and Jude so you can be prepped for the other two messages coming up on this coming Sunday and the Sunday immediately after that. So the last Sunday of August and the first Sunday of September. All right. That wraps us up for today. Thanks again for being here with me. I enjoy reading the word with you, knowing that you're listening and I'm imagining the thoughts that might be going through your mind and how you're thinking about the word. And I'm also thinking ahead to tomorrow that you will have gotten the Bible study downloaded and started in on maybe your study. So we can join back here together tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. We'll do the first lesson together and maybe talk a little bit about our thoughts on that, especially if you're in here on the Facebook group. Those of you who join us later and listen in, you don't forget we are on YouTube. You're probably watching me on YouTube right now going, I know we're on YouTube, I'm watching you on YouTube. But I have a YouTube channel. Just go to Jennifer Richmond on YouTube, or you can do the search on Dwelling Richly, which is the name of all of our Bible study time is Dwelling Richly from Colossians 3:16. That's what we do. We get into the word and we dwell in it, right? All right. So join me on YouTube and then also the podcast. You can find the podcast on your iTunes or any podcasting app. Just look for Dwelling Richly. And I post these so that you can listen along a little conveniently in your car, listen to the word being read or this Bible studies or any of the women's ministry devotions and teachings that we have at La Mirada Christian Church. And share this. Let your friends know. It's a great way to have community together and join in together and read the word. Oh, one last thing. I don't have it handy to show you as a visual, but imagine I'm holding a book called Seasons of Waiting. And we are going to be meeting this coming Saturday for our final get together in Seasons of Waiting. And it will be a live in-person get together at my home right here in Hacienda Heights. Looking forward to that. So it's not too late. If you haven't started the book, start the book. Finish it in 1 week. It's a quick read. All right. More details for that to come online. If you're interested, you can ask me about that. For now, toodly-doo. God bless you. You are loved. You are prayed for. Thank you for being here. I look forward to being here with you tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., Lord willing. Enjoy the solar eclipse today, everybody. Get out there. Hopefully the clouds will clear away in California. It's all cloudy right now. Great. We'll just imagine the eclipse. But anyway, go out there and enjoy the eclipse later on today. I'll be out there checking it out. Partial eclipse here in California. Of course, the rest of you all out there on the path, enjoy it. And report back the mysterious things that have happened while you were watching the eclipse. All sorts of nonsense going on Facebook with superstitions about what's going to happen. But anyway, God bless you. Thanks again for being here. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.